Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody. It's Sunday, September 18th, and I just want to wish you a happy Sunday. Let me tell you, you know, I was on a call with one of my mentors this past week, Barbara DeAngelis. Oh my goodness, what a blessing Barbara DeAngelis is. But anyway, she told us that this was a very interesting time. A very interesting period spiritually that we are going through right now. And I'm telling you, it is impacting everything. Technology, the weather, you name it. And of course, you know, when God is involved, everything is impacted. So if you happen to be going through a challenging moment right now, or things just seem to be a little bit off balance, just be, as my friend Jerome would say, be easy. Go easy on yourself and, you know, stay prayerful. Keep your ear to God's mouth and just kind of, you know, take care of yourself, because it is a very, let me say, challenging time at this moment. Everything just seems to be in a bit of an uproar, if you will. And I say uproar, I use that term loosely when I say uproar. I'm just texting right now. I'm texting the phone number to my sister because my telephone is not working properly. It's just not working. I don't understand what's going on. And, you know, give me a second. Let me text her number because she's going to be calling in to talk with 9189. Okay. And so I'll tell you the number at the same time. 909-265-9189. And this thing says, I don't understand why this thing still says listening to host, right? Let me check and see if I'm over here at another page, because it's just unusual. Okay, so sign in. Let's see what's going on here, because we have all kinds of stuff going wrong. My phone's not working. The call-in number's not working. The promo's not working. It's just crazy. So let's see what's going on. Oh, okay, so we are on the air. So I did text the number over to my sister. So let me go back to the studio now and see if that's working properly. Okay, so I'm glad you're here. We are, you know, this is Ask Kathleen, which is the pre-show to the show, Adam, Where Art Thou, which is going to be an unbelievably exciting program tonight. We are expecting Miss Lisa Nichols. And she, if you don't know who Lisa Nichols is, you will know by this evening. And you probably do know her and who she is already, just kind of remembering that she is the author of, oh, my friends are here, yay! she is the author of Chicken Soup for the African American Woman Soul. She's also author of Chicken Soup for the African American Soul. And she's also author of her latest book, which is an unbelievable bestseller already, called No Matter What. So we are expecting to hear from her at 7 o'clock, so hang in there with us. And I am going to bring in my dear friend, Jerome Esprit, who is on the line right now. And Jerome, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? I hear your technical difficulties, so I'm kind of bearing with it. I'm just saying we're all here with you, so don't worry. No worries.
Thank you so much. Because it was funny because I'm sitting looking at the board, or what I thought was the board. I hear the show going off. I'm looking on the board, and it says waiting for host. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I'm the host, right?
I'm here talking. I think it's
there
me working. Yeah, it was something. And then my cell phone is just not working at all. My sister was trying to get the phone number and calling in. I think she's on the line now.
But
I don't know. The signal keeps dropping, you name it. But whatever, we're here. And we're just going to keep talking. So I'm going to bring in Ronnie, too. But, Jerome, tell me what's going on and how's everything?
I thought you were going to, you know, when you started off the show, that you were just going to wish us all happy birthdays this month because, you know, this is my birthday month. So I was
happy
just surprised
birthday,
that anybody.
Jerome!
Well, thank you.
Yay!
I didn't do that for the self-plug or anything, but I figured that it was a national holiday for everybody. So I just didn't know.
It is, actually. It
oh,
is.
Okay. Well,
exactly.
I'm surprised it wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's a national holiday. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would love for you all to send in birthday wishes to Jerome.
Oh,
happy
don't
birthday
do that. That embarrassed me.
Ronnie, are you here? Say happy birthday to Jerome.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll never do that again on the air and say it's my birthday, by the way. I am not a big self-promotion person, so that's tough for me. I'm turning over a new leaf today.
Well, we all have to celebrate our birthdays.
Wow. Like I said, I thought everybody was celebrating it, so I'm never the wiser on that. I just figured everybody was celebrating it anyway.
Yeah. And mine too. I call myself celebrating my birthday for the entire summer.
See, there
exactly.
You go.
Yeah, for the entire summer.
Ronnie, we'll call it the summer of Kathleen.
Oh, I like that.
A great summer.
I like that. But there's one issue that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is another summer. For the summer of 2010 and the summer of 2011, which ended on Thursday, I just want everybody to know because it's freezing here, I didn't go to the beach.
Oh.
I didn't go to the beach.
Nobody got to the beach this summer.
Jerome, did you go to the beach, Jerome?
Jerome never goes to the beach, but Jerome was actually in the Gulf of Mexico during the storm, so I just didn't want to I didn't want to say that I could have been on the beach, but no. I was I never go on the beach.
Really?
No, I don't. No, enough of me. Ronnie, did you go to the beach?
I missed out this summer. I went last summer. It was really awesome, but this summer it wasn't that hot.
Oh, well, see, that'll do it.
I missed out. Oh, you know what? I did go to the beach. We did get to the beach. I went one time.
You did?
Beautiful. Yeah, I got to go once. Just a walkthrough. You know, you walk by. I got a walkthrough.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I didn't go, and I was very disappointed because every day I kept saying, okay, just make sure you go to the beach now. Make sure you get to the beach, and I didn't go. So I wonder what that's about. We'll have to ask Jerome on another day what that quantum is, what that means.
Quantum. Does that mean when you didn't go to the beach? Okay.
Well, I think that warrants a trip to the at least the Bahamas or maybe the Bermudas or Virgin Islands or something.
Yeah, maybe you're saving it for a big trip.
Okay, then I'll go with that. So, listen, I wanted to ask you guys if anybody is hooked on the ultimate merger like I am. I just want to know, is it just me? Or has anybody else seen that program with Sakara, The Ultimate Merger, with she's finding, looking for, you remember Omarosa did that show, it was Donald Trump produced it, and Omarosa went on there and she had, like, I don't remember how many men that were competing to make the ultimate merger, which I guess is marriage with her. And so her season ended, I guess, it seems like 2 years since Omarosa was on there, and now they have Takara on there. Has anybody else, have you guys watched that show?
No, I missed it. I knew it came on, but I haven't been able to watch it because, remember now, I've been locked in on the Basketball Wives and locked in on the other girl, Toni Braxton.
Oh, right. That's right. And Jerome, do you watch stuff like that?
And I'm going to say, as the only guy on the panel today, no.
No.
I don't think we'd be interested. A bunch of guys are not actually interested in chasing one woman. I don't think that that's really natural for us. So I don't think that has a good male appeal at all.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. I think that's just me.
I'm watching football.
Well, see, but sports are a little different. We don't share women. I don't know how that goes, but guys don't watch competition for guys chasing the same woman. I'm not sure that that's appealing. Now, it could be. I'm just saying, for me, no. I mean, no. I would try to go along with the program.
That's funny, because the guys on the show don't seem to like it either. So, I guess that's
no, not at all.
That is hilarious. But anyway, I have been hooked on it. I watch it every week. And I actually record it so that I can watch it every week. I do. And I really get a kick out of it. Partly, though, because Takara is so fashion forward that it's just fun, you know, watching that in itself. But so what do you guys think about Glenn Rice and Sarah Palin? Could that possibly be true?
Did they say she was having an affair?
Well,
or a one-night stand or something.
Yeah, I think the story is that when he was playing at Michigan, you know, they have the Great Alaskan Shootout up there, and she was covering sports at the time, and they may have had a date together.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah, so I don't really know what that means in the big picture, but it's probably true. I don't think Glenn Rice denied it. So as a guy, huh?
No, he didn't. But would he?
Oh, definitely. If nothing happened, he would have denied it. She's crazy. Like, nobody claims sleeping with the crazy girl when they didn't. There's no brownie points for having an affair with Sarah Palin. Not at this juncture, I guess.
Rome, I'm taking notes. I learned.
Which is that?
Guys don't like to share women, and they won't admit that they date the crazy girl.
Not at all. Hey, wait a minute. You're not recording this, are you?
No, I'm not recording it, but I think it is recording.
Okay. Just a one-time show. Just let it go. Because I don't want to get kicked out of the club. We're not supposed to be revealing too much. That's
the
guy
thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right, the man club.
Yeah.
So we only have 30 days of summer in New York.
We have what?
30 days of summer. I mean, it's over.
You know, but I like the change of season, so, you know, I don't really ever complain about this. I was just in Houston and in Louisiana, and it was hot, and they had I don't know how many concurrent days of 100-degree heat, and the bugs are nothing to play with, and they are complaining that they have no water. So we have one-third of the world's drinking water up in this area. So I think this will be the place where everybody will be going.
They have no water?
They're having bad drought conditions.
I remember, but I thought it rained by now.
Oh, it rained today. But all summer.
Okay.
There was no rain. It rains one day. So I'm sure that they're still not that happy about it.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize they were still having droughts in Texas. So what's going on new with you guys? What's happening in your neck of the woods, Jerome? Anything new coming up?
Oh, you know, I'm always going to say no. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
Just the usual, you know. We do the show on Thursdays, of course, Esprit Radio News. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Ronnie, what you got coming up new?
What do I have coming up new?
Anything fun or interesting that you have going on?
Well, not right now. I'm in a little, like, out-of-town place right now. But when I get back, I have some exciting things going on. I'm looking to get involved in possible film. So I don't know. That's okay, hopefully.
Nice. It's hard to hear you on speaker.
Will I get back on the regular? Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Better?
Thank you.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I was saying I was hoping that I'm going to start working on a possible film. People said they were going to start a film, and I'm hoping to volunteer. It'll be a volunteer position in the beginning, but if that works out, I'll be really happy.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, keep us posted, and we'll certainly support or whatever. And, of course, I'll be trying out. If there's any roles that I can try out in, let me know.
Absolutely.
Your
new acting bug.
Yeah, my actress bug is jumping up. I saw, you know what I watched yesterday? I was not feeling well yesterday at all. I caught a cold and the season change. And I was, so whenever I'm not feeling well, I do my favorite thing, and that's to watch movies. So Love and Basketball was on yesterday. And did you guys like that movie?
Yeah.
Excellent. I think it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Huh? Yeah.
It was a really
I love that movie. So I got to watch it.
You know,
it again.
I just saw it for the first time this summer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It was a great movie. So now Lathan played that role well. I thought I loved the way it ended. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting, you know, something different always hits me when I watch a movie again, and I do watch movies over and over. One of the things that hit me about that movie is nobody ever complained about how physical they were. And when I say physical, like, they fought, you know, as a couple. They fought.
Yes.
She hit him and he hit her back. Right?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but you
know, like,
in movies, you don't take it seriously.
They do in most movies. I don't know. What do you think, Jerome?
Yeah, well, in some movies they do take it serious. I guess I never even noticed the physical. I thought about the physical in basketball when they were playing and that kind of stuff, but it was kind of the nature of being a sports movie that they are physical. And so athletes are physical people. You got to be careful. And so she prided herself on being physical. She kept calling them soft and, you know, that was kind of her – that was kind of her drive, is to compete. And so I never even noticed between a couple of them actually fighting. I don't think I remember that part. And I've watched it quite a few times.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean in comedy. You know, comedy is a shtick more so than a drama now. Of course, we would take it seriously. But in a comedy like that, if Madea hit somebody, we don't think, oh, my God, she's so dangerous. But she's crazy.
Right.
She's dangerous. But, you know, you don't look at it in that light. You think it's funny. It's kind of warped.
Well, but Love and Basketball wasn't a comedy, though. It was
kind of like a
romantic. Well, I can't critique it, but it was. I don't think it was a comedy, but
kind of drama,
it's
right?
Interesting.
A little drama comedy.
Huh?
A little drama, but a little bit.
Yeah, it was just it was kind of drama based. Like it was a light drama.
But
I don't think that the laughs were like slapstick or anything in there.
Yeah. Well, the first fight happened, you know, they were kids, so I guess you just throw it off as them being kids, right?
Right.
Because he pushed her down. They were playing ball, though. They were the very first one, they were playing ball, and she got that cut on her face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, and I always wondered about this, too. Oh, and we're getting close to 7 o'clock, so we got to get ready to call in to Adam Where Art Thou and bring on Lisa Nichols. But the second one, I always wondered about that scar, whether that was a real scar that she has on her face or something that they were able to create with makeup. And so I know, Ronnie, we could talk about that another day because we don't have time. But then the next one, they had a fight when, you know, he asked her to be his girl, and they were supposed to ride their bike. They were riding their bikes to school, and he said, well, you got to ride on my bike because my dad drives my mom, so I got to ride you. And she said, no, I don't want to ride your bike. And so he said, you just stupid or whatever. They called each other names, and then they started fighting, rolling all down the grass, her in her yellow dress. Oh, you remember that one?
Yeah,
no, I remember that.
Yeah,
remember
and they
that.
Were kids. You know, you say, okay, well, they're just kids, so they're fighting their kids. But the parents never said anything about it. Nobody ever got involved, even when she, you know, came home all cut and beat up from playing basketball. And then when did they fought again? When she came back to her dorm and he was waiting for her, and he was dumping her at that point. He was breaking up with her at that point because he was going pro, and they started fighting then. And then again when they played basketball at the end, and how physical they got in that movie. And nobody ever said anything about that. I was just wondering if anybody ever took it that way.
Nope. Well, you know what? I didn't remember that whole movie, so thanks for
giving us a running commentary.
So she's going on Broadway, you know. She's got a Broadway play coming out.
Wow, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now Lathan. So listen, this is the intro, you know, the pre-show to Adam, Where Art Thou? So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Lisa Nichols, and prayerfully we'll hear from her because I didn't hear from them today. But Lisa Nichols, the author of Chicken Soup for the African American Soul and Chicken Soup for the African American Women's Soul, and also her latest book, which also is also all three of them are bestsellers. No matter what, she's going to be joining us at 7 p.m. And if she's not, we'll talk about all the stuff that she talks about usually, and then we'll get her on another show. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to play one quick song, and we'll come right back at 7 o'clock with Adam, Where Art Thou? So hang in there. Hang on and listen as I dial into the TJRS Radio Network, and you can call us either at 909-265-9189 or 347-850-1272. And we will start Adam in just a couple minutes. So you all good? You can hang in there with me?
Can hang in there. No problem.
Yep, I'm with you.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
Your show is scheduled to start in 3 minutes. Radio Network.
Gender or race. I'm voting for Barack Obama not because he's black. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's brilliant.
Who is Barack Obama? Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth. If I had to name my greatest strength, I guess it would be my humility. Greatest weakness, it's possible that I'm a little too awesome.
It's not a police officer's job to discipline somebody's children. That's a parent's job. And if the parents don't step up and discipline their children, then they're going to see me and I won't be as charming as I normally am.
Sunday evening, it's time for Adam Where Art Thou with your host, Miss Kathleen Williams. Hey, Kathleen, what's up, girl? Kathleen Williams. It is Adam Where Art Thou, folks. I'm Jay. Of course, we're waiting on Kathleen
to
get her.
I thought she
was here, but nevertheless, we have a great, great show on tap for you tonight. A very good show. I want you guys to sit back, relax. Should be some good stuff. Lisa Nichols, she is the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. She also starred in the movie The Secret. I tell you, it's going to be a great, great show tonight. Just sit tight. 347-850-1272
right here,
is our calling number. 347-850-1272. So tell you what, let's step out, take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Jay, can you hear me?
Online radio is best.
Jay, can you hear me?
And thirst quench and chill kind of average and oldie but goodie, but it could never be the average. Guzzle it, sip it, let it flow, you know the seeds. We're going to have a hell of a time with drinks like these.
I wish you may, if I wish you may. that I knew was hurting you. My hustle in the streets gave that up for you too. Don't want nothing else in the way. I just wanna make sure that you stay. Baby, no more lies. I'm gonna do it right this time. Help me understand what I'm saying. I'm getting through. Why I can't be a man when I give up the world for you? Can I do the best I can? Live forever, that's what I'll do.
On a beautiful Sunday evening, Kathleen Williams, sweetie, are you with me now?
I am with you, Jay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sweetie. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing fine today, but I'm telling you, I have had technology glitches and all kinds of stuff going on this afternoon, so I'm just very happy to be here and really excited about our show tonight and our guest this evening, who is already here with us. So I'm ready to bring her on. Are you?
Hey, let's bring her in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure and my distinct honor to introduce to you a lady who is just such a blessing to me in my life, and I'm sure she will be to you. As I have been tweeting about it and blogging about it, everyone should have an opportunity to be in the presence of Ms. Lisa Nichols. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? And Lisa, welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? Introducing Ms. Lisa Nichols. Thank you so very much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be with you. I've looked forward to this time together for quite some time.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I reread and reread your books, it just amazes me over and over how profound and how on point you are with so many things. It's as though you wrote your books for me.
Oh, you know, I appreciate that. Because I was speaking once, and I had a 66-year-old white man walk up to me and said, "I feel like you were only speaking to me. You're my twin sister." And I kind of looked at him like, really? But what I realized is that the human spirit, the soul, the heart, you know, it has no color, it has no gender, and it has no age. So thank you for that. I was writing it for you.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. So, you know, there's so much always to talk to you about. And, you know, before we jump into it, because someone did send me a question, you know, well, a few people sent me a question for you. But one of the things that I just wanted to ask you to do for all those who are listening is just to tell us a little bit about your story. Because a lot of times when people see where you are now and what you're doing now, and you've taken your company public and all of that, and they just say, wow, you know, and they don't really know the whole story. And I just wanted to ask you if you'd share with us certainly your successes and just a little bit about how you got there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny you should ask me to share that now, Kathleen, and how people see where I am, because in the passenger seat of my car at this very moment is the October issue of Essence. And on the cover is Michelle Obama. And in the upper left-hand corner, it says 2011 Power List, 28 of the most influential black women. And I'm one of them.
Yes.
And I look at that and I go, wow, you know, rated with Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey and some really amazing women is little old Lisa Nichols. And it's been a long journey. You know, I didn't arrive. I didn't get Google downloaded. I didn't take the fast lane or the carpool lane to being considered one of the most influential blacks. It was a journey that started off with, you know, living between the Harlem Crip 30s and the Rolling 60s and making a declaration that I might have to live amongst gangbangers and people who want to do crime, but that's not who I am. I started at a very young age making a declaration of who I am and clear on who I am not. I was that woman who had to get on the county, as you know, I've shared with you before and you read in my books, that I had to get on government assistance just to have my baby. Last night, my son and I were driving through South Central, and my nerves always get a little frailed when I'm in that area, and we had to stop and get air in our tire. And my son is 6'1" and 260 pounds, and so he's of that age and size where, you know, young men would go after him. He's not that little 8-year-old anymore where they'll look past him. And so I remember telling my son, let's be very careful, let's get gas, you know, let's move pretty frequently. I don't want to paint the wrong picture. Not all of LA is bad, but I'm raised in the streets. I know the streets. And so my son's interest peaked. He said, Mommy, I don't know anything about this area. He goes, what happened? And I drove him by the place where he was born, the house that I brought him home to. I drove him up by the job I worked when I was pregnant with him. And my son looked at me and he said, Mom, he goes, our life is totally different now. As I just left 20 minutes ago, the new house that we're building by the lake in San Diego. But my son knows nothing about the journey. I mean, I've told him the journey, but he hasn't had to see it. And so I tell you, Kathleen, that I celebrate where I am, but I'm that same woman who couldn't afford to feed my baby. I'm that same woman who had a dream and no one else could see my dream but me. I'm that same woman that would eat beanies and weenies four nights a week so that I can put all the money back in my company. And so it's been a journey here. You know, I love the fact that I've authored 5 bestsellers. I love the fact that I've sat next to Oprah and across from Larry King. I love the fact that my company is going public in the next couple of months. I love the fact that we're a multi-million dollar entity. I love that, and I don't apologize for it. And my journey has earned me the right to stand in that space. And all I want to do is empower others like you and every person listening to our voice today, that if you really can dream it between your ears, then you can see it, you can have it, and you deserve it.
You, whenever you speak, Lisa, I get all choked up. I'm supposed to be the host. I'm over here with goosebumps and tears in my eyes, and I just get all choked up like we did in the studio. I'm like,
right.
Oh, my God. It is just so incredible and so believable, you know, and the way you're so humble with it, and I'm so grateful to you for sharing that story, because many people get there and then they won't share the story with you.
Right. A lot of experts want you to see them standing on the mountaintop, but I think it's important for me to share with you, what did it feel like climbing the mountain? Because the vast majority of the people that I speak to, you're somewhere on the side of the mountain climbing, and guess what? I'm still on the side of a mountain climbing. I'm just at a different point, but I'm still climbing. And I think when you see that an ordinary single mother who had to get on the county, whose son's father has been in prison since my son was 8 months old, my son turned 17 this year, when you see an ordinary woman from South Central who was considered academically challenged, who got a fail in English, a D in speech, and a D in math, can lead a multi-million dollar company and take it public, then all of a sudden you know that an ordinary person like you can choose to make some extraordinary decisions like me and have that life that you want to have.
It is possible. And the more we listen to you, we understand how possible it is. And the thing that is so brilliant also, Lisa, is that you not only tell people that it's possible, but you break it on down so that folks know exactly. Yeah.
Come on. Now, you know, because a lot of times we hide away, Kathleen, behind ambiguity. Those three letters are dangerous. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do next. I don't know. They're dangerous if you take up real estate and I don't know. I would love to have the life of my dreams, but I don't know how. Well, then let me give you a homework assignment. Go find out.
That's right. And then, you know, the go find out piece, you know, that's the other aspect of it. The go find out. One of the things that I loved about your discussions when you talked about the law of attraction and on the secret
right.
and so forth, that what, as soon as you start to believe it, as soon as you put your faith in God that it's possible for you, and just now you begin to open yourself to the possibilities, then the teachers begin to show up and the information.
Oh my God! Absolutely. Not only do you begin after you see it and after you believe it. You know, a lot of times we'll ask our higher power. I call him God. Call him whatever you choose. But whenever we ask God for something, you know, part of our brain is thinking, "Wow, life will be great with it." But many times, the other part of our brain is saying, "But I don't deserve that. I couldn't handle that. I'm not worthy of that." Well, you just canceled out your prayer. So when you keep saying, I'm praying and I'm waiting, well, I say God's waiting on you to believe that you actually can live that life. Believe that you actually can move from debt management to wealth creation. Believe that even though your last relationship didn't work out fine, that your next relationship can be fabulous. Believe that you can look fabulous full-figured, or you can look fabulous as a size 8, 6, 2, or 4, whatever fits your fancy. Believe that you are worthy of it. So, you know, there comes a time when beyond the prayer, beyond the wish, beyond the asking, there needs to become a mind shift where you give yourself permission to have the life you say you love. Can you imagine how difficult it was and how uncomfortable it was for me, little old Lisa from South Central L.A., on government's assistant, on the county, to sit in the room with millionaires and billionaires who were talking about transforming the planet when I was in the secret. And here I was going, okay, all I could do, Kathleen, was constantly give myself permission to belong in that room, to constantly give myself permission to be a significant contribution to that project, to give myself permission that my past does not equal my future, and my next will not pay for my ex.
Lisa, that is unbelievable. So when you were at the secret, you were still growing.
Oh, my God. Listen, hello. I'm still growing. After the secret, after no matter what, after chicken soup, after, you know, I'm still growing. That's a never-ending process. Evergreening and ever-growing is my address. I refuse to let anyone make me believe that I have arrived anywhere. My life is not a destination. My life is a journey. And in the same moment that I can be the teacher, I still will always remain the student.
Amen. That is what a message. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask you on behalf of a friend that asked me today. She mentioned this to me today. She is a community activist, and she's a single mother, and she is working, you know, working at a job she just got terminated from, and she's, you know, exhausted, and basically saying to me, as she was sitting in a meeting with a politician, and she sent me a message, Kathleen, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I'm just so tired and ready to give up. I just don't know. You know, I get mistreated on the left hand and pushed aside on the right hand, and I just can't find, some days I just can't find the strength to keep pushing forward. Lisa, what do you say to all these folks that have lost jobs and are feeling, you know, they want another life. They see they want another life, dream of a better life, but, you know, just can't quite feel like they're getting there. What do you say to them?
Absolutely. First of all, I say that I hear you, and I understand. I understand how that is challenging. I understand how that's a real feeling. Now, I don't want to negate your feeling. That's a real feeling. And while that's a real feeling, I want to encourage you to keep moving through that feeling. I want you to begin to collect your bounce back muscle. Make sure that if you're feeling bad, tired, and like you want to give up, that you acknowledge that feeling. But please, sis, don't take out real estate in that emotion. Don't take out real estate. Don't do a lease option buy on Sad Lane. Don't take out any property on Victim Row, on Sadville, Worry Lane. Do not take out real estate there. So though you feel that way, that's okay. But what will it take for you to get to that next better feeling? How can you do that? Number one is, I got to say that we treat people and how to treat us. I know this is going to sting a bit, but we treat people on how to treat us. So I want to ask your girlfriend, have you learned how to set healthy boundaries? Have you learned how, when someone's mistreating you, or not honoring you, or not celebrating you, to show them how to honor you, to require that being in your presence? I know sometimes in business that doesn't happen, but in your personal relationships, they will duplicate your business relationships. And if you're not being honored at work, you're probably not being honored at home. Start at home on what feels good. And what that looks like is, as a single mother, I used to hang a sign on my door called Mommy Me Time. And Mommy Me Time meant I don't have to be doing anything, but whatever I'm doing, it's my time. And I would ask my son, as a single mother, Mommy needs about 15, 20 minutes of Mommy Me Time. That was the first step of learning how to set boundaries and learning how to carve out time to rejuvenate. Because oftentimes, Kathleen, we're serving from a half-dry tank or a bone dry tank, and we feel exhausted all the time, underappreciated, undervalued. But the reality is, we're teaching people that they can keep taking from our tank, because we haven't stopped to preserve it. We haven't stopped to refuel it. We haven't stopped to require that we be rejuvenated. So I say to your girlfriend, I understand that you're going through things, and you have to be an active part of your own rescue. And the first part of that is learning how to love yourself at a higher level, because the rest of the world will follow. You'll find that even though you've been, you call it terminated, I say released, because if that job wasn't happy with you, you probably weren't happy with it. And so it actually could save your life, honey, because you will die doing something you don't want to do. You may still be alive, but you're not living. So if they have to release you so you can live, then thank them for that, and then start living.
Mm. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for answering that. And I think when we were in the studio, Lisa, I believe I told you the story. When I had a surgery, I had to have a hysterectomy some years back. And when the physician that was dealing with me, the surgeon, he said, okay, so we have to now take this part of your anatomy. What are you going to change so you're not back here for us trying to take something else out? Because this is the stress of your lifestyle that is causing all of this illness.
Right.
So, yeah, so when you say that these things will kill you, oh, don't I know it?
Right. And that,
And what he was asking you is, how are you going to be an active part of your own rescue?
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And that hit me hard. When he said that hit me hard because I knew. It was very clear. There was nothing that I had to say. Oh, do you think I'm stressed? I was like, no, I know. This is exactly what is going on, and I do play a part of it, and I'm not a victim, you know, here. I can make a different choice to live a different life and do, you know, do what I know will help me to have less stress in my life and also to live the life that I want to live. So I want to ask you a little bit more about that transition when you began to make those changes out of where you were to where you are now. What are some of the tips that you can give those of us listening, and how did you do it? How did you make that change?
Okay, now here's my requirement, Kathleen. If I take the time to give these tips, I want your listeners to make the commitment to implement something. Because a lot of times we listen to these teleseminars or radio shows that provide great content, and the experience in the moment was wonderful, but no one's taking action. And so please know that action is the antidote for despair. Action is the antidote for despair, and action is also the prescription for ultimate success. So my request is that I'm going to share with you some things that I did, that if you're listening, get out your pen and paper. You should already have had it out. And take notes, and then make this your to-do list. Because success leaves clues. And what I've learned and I know about successful people, long before I was successful myself, was that successful people who are giving, they love to share what made them successful. So as long as you can be a photocopy machine, I tell people I am a photocopy machine. Tell me how to do it. Show me how to do it, and I'm going to do it. So this is what I did. My son was 3 years old, and I was living in Compton, and I was working for LA Unified School District. And I knew that I did not plan to retire from LA Unified School District like a lot of my colleagues were doing. I knew that I didn't want to be tenured there. I didn't want to have seniority there. I didn't want to be there that long. I love the educators, but I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to inspire the world. I did not want to just inspire LA. And here I was as a single mom making $2,000 a month, and I didn't know how to do it. So what I did was I began to write myself a check. Write this down if you're listening. I wrote myself a check every pay period. I wrote my first check for $110. And the agreement that I made with myself, Kathleen, was every 2 weeks I would write a check for at least 5% more than the previous check was written for. I stopped getting my hair done. I stopped getting my nails done, and I stopped going out to dinner. Let me make a point on that. So what I did was I became convicted. I recognized my conviction. Well, I was convicted with and committed to transforming my life. Most people, even those listening, some of you listen, you want to say you're convicted to something, but you don't want to lose the convenience that you currently have. You don't want to stop going out. You don't want to stop getting your nails done. You want to stop getting your hair done. You want the convenience and the conviction. Let me tell you something. If you are not willing to be inconvenienced, then you are not truly convicted yet. So I became unequivocally convicted about what transforming me and my son's life. I even moved in with a roommate so I can stop paying the $1,200 a month rent that I paid. I save every dime. I begin to save $500 a pay period, $800 a pay period. I trimmed down my life so it was so simple. It was so bare for 3.5 years. I sold my car that had a car note. I bought an older car that was completely paid for. I mean, I trimmed down. And in 3.5 years, I had $60,000 in the bank account. I used the first $7,000 to get myself out of debt because I was about to walk away from my job. And after that, I spent the next year building my business and living off my savings.
unbelievable. And this is this that conviction is so critical. We talked a lot about that when you were in the studio, and since then I have made some serious changes. And I don't feel look as cute as I did before, you know.
But I
had to do it. I know on Adam, Where Art Thou, we are getting ready to take a quick break, but Lisa, hang on, because we're going to talk through it, because I know your time is really valuable. So I have another question quick. So, Jay, we're going to take a pause on Adam, Where Art Thou. You're listening to Kathleen Williams and my co-host, Jay Royals. Thank you so much for joining in to listen to this fabulous show with Lisa Nichols. Jay, were you able to stop the break?
Yeah, go ahead, guys. We'll go ahead and go through this break. We'll go through this break. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, I have made a lot of those changes. I remember having those tips, and that was $25 every 2 weeks to get my nails done, and then another $30 when you added on the pedicure and added on this and added on that, and the dry cleaning. Everything that can be washed is washed. Nothing goes to the dry cleaner.
Exactly.
If it could possibly go. Yes. It got rid of the car, and, you know, it just all that transition. And just as you said, for those of us who are convicted, it's not a game. You know, it's really not a game.
Right.
And that is, yeah.
Now, what happens is, Kathleen, you become the first investor in your dream. And so now money follows money. Money chases money. Now you're putting some skin in. Now make sure that money isn't absorbed somewhere else. Write the check. Put it in the account. The account is for your business only. It's not for splurge. It's not for, you know, next year in Jamaica, though you deserve it. It's for your business. And you begin to have a business mind. You know, you are in the business of transforming lives. So when you begin to think about, wait a minute, if I fall short on myself, there are people's lives that will not be changed because I want to go to the big sale at Macy's. When you begin to look at how many ways can I become more responsible to my future, I got to say this. When you begin, and everyone listen to my voice, I want you to hear this because this sounds crazy, but you got to hear it this way. You're either investing in your past or you're investing in your future. Now, when you say, I've always been that way, I've never been able to save, I'm always in debt, I'm a shopaholic, that's just the way I am. What you're saying is, hey, look at me. I want you to see my 2008 version of myself. But when you say, I won't get my nails done, I'll wash my own clothes, I'll get up a little earlier, I'll put that food down when I'm full and not when it's done, when my stomach says I'm complete, that's when you become invested in the 2015 version of yourself. And that's what I'm talking about.
Come on now. You make me shout. Shouting over here.
Come on. Because I hope somebody's getting this, because when you say, wait a minute, what's the 2015 version of me? What you're saying is, God, show me the parts of myself that haven't even emerged yet. Show me the fabulosity, the ginormity. Show me the incredible essence of me that I haven't seen yet. So if you would normally react to someone in an argument and you would normally turn around and tell them where to go and how to get there, yeah, that's who you would be in 2009. What would your 2015 version do? Would you bless them, have compassion for them, walk out the room? What would you do that you've never, ever done before, where you know when you're doing it, you are speaking and creating into the highest part of yourself, the greatest and best part of your creation? That's when you get excited about breathing.
Woo! Oh, come on. Yes. Yes. And Lisa, it is not always easy to do it. You know, sometimes I know. It is not always easy to do it. And you walk by other people and you're like, well, wait a minute, I should be able to have that. And people are like, oh, yeah, I'm on my way to Fiji. I'm on my way to the Bahamas. I'm on my way here,
right,
there, and the other. And,
right,
you know, and you have to say, okay, well, no, not me. Not right, right now, though. Not right now.
Right.
And
right.
that's well, 15
May I correct something that you said? You said it's
please.
not always easy. I'm gonna be honest with you. It ain't ever easy. It's always a decision and a choice. But for me, it's never been easy to make that convicted sacrifice. It's never been. Now I'm disciplined enough to do it, but it's never been easy. Like, you know, every time I've made the choice, I've never said I'm so excited about this choice. But I've always said I'm so excited about the results it's going to create.
That is great. That's great to hear. Because a lot of times I know me, just speaking for me, that, you know, when I'm saying the choice, I want to be excited about the choice. And then I feel some turmoil inside myself because I know I'm not excited. I want that pizza.
Right.
I want that trip.
Right.
And I'm not excited about it.
Let me just free you. You don't have to be excited about the choice. Be excited about the outcome that the choice will bring to you. But you don't have to be excited about the choice. That's where discipline will kick in. That's where your leadership will kick in. And when that stops, that's where you grab an affirmation. You grab a friend. That's why whenever I'm working with my clients, I coach. I do executive coaching for business owners and leaders. You know that. And whenever I'm coaching them, I say, let's begin with the end in mind. Let's write a letter, write an essay, a letter, on how your life looks 5 years from now. But don't write it in I will have. Write it in I have. I'm driving whatever you're driving. I'm living wherever you're living. My bank account balance is whatever your bank account balance is. Write it as if it's so, because there's a neurological firing off that happens in your brain and your heart and your soul when you write it as already so. You get your body gets excited about that possibility, because you have to begin with the end in mind so that when it gets hard, you can tap back into what you're creating.
Yes. And that was the other thing that I really wanted to tell you, that I've written you a letter, and it's so long, I'm trying to chop it down a little bit so I don't, you know, I don't send you a thesis, but all the things that I wanted to thank you for. Because that was one of the things that I would do. I would always say those things, but I never did write them down. And my vision board was not updated. And so after sitting with you that day in the studio, I started doing things a whole lot differently. And it has been a struggle. It has not been easy. And I just bless you and thank you so much for that. And all of the people that were in the studio that day, Lisa, they have all asked for that opportunity that you had mentioned in the studio, you know, for us to bring that to pass, because they're all diligently making changes, and I see everybody doing things differently than they were before you came. So as I said before, we all need time with Lisa Nichols. I think everybody can benefit from time with you, and it's just such a blessing to hear what you are doing, what you've accomplished. So what I wanted to talk to you also about is a little bit about your book, No Matter What, and the impetus for that book, and, you know, the great stories behind it.
Yes, well, first of all, I have to say that the book is spicy, as you know.
Yes.
I recommend, after it first came out, I started getting all these replies on how powerful it was, and people were laughing out loud and crying on the plane. You know, this gentleman said, you need to have a disclaimer on the book that says, this book is spicy, drink some water while you read. And I laughed, and then after getting about 500-600 more comments, oh my God, it changed my life. I was crying, I was laughing. You pushed my buttons, you know, I felt like you had me on blast, you know, I mean, all the stuff that came with it. I said, well, maybe I should tell people. So I didn't print it on the book. I will tell you that if you're considering reading the book, No Matter What, then have a 16.9 ounce bottle of water next to you. because I decided, Kathleen, that I could teach how to live your dreams. I could teach how to climb the mountain and stand on it, the life that you love, and love the life that you're living. But I have to tell you where my breakdowns were. I have to be honest with you. And so I share in that book how to turn a breakdown into a breakthrough, how every breakdown is literally a breakthrough waiting to happen. The challenge is most people have the breakdown, and they take out real estate in the breakdown. They get comfortable. They'll do rent-to-own. They'll get a couch and a recliner, and they'll live inside the breakdown in the valley. And so the book is about simply about building your bounce back muscles. We are going to get knocked down. I am not calling anything negative into your life. I'm speaking the truth. I would love to soar through life without any challenge because my mind was positive. Let me be clear with you. With a positive mind, with a good heart, with a wonderful spirit, with good intentions, and with high integrity, you still gonna go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff. And so knowing that you're going to go through some stuff, it's not about trying to dodge the stuff, Kathleen. It's not about trying to push the stuff down like it didn't happen. It's not about trying to forget about it. It's about learning how to bounce back from that thing. Now, when you know how to bounce back, you know your bounce back muscles are developed, then you stop being so nervous about taking risks. You stop being nervous about taking a leap to soar because you know when your bounce back muscle is fine-tuned and toned, you know that if something is lurking around that corner and it knocks you down, you are going to undoubtedly bounce back. As a matter of fact, you stop saying what's around the corner. You start saying whatever's around the corner, you might not want to worry. I'm not going to worry about you. You might want to worry about me. That's the bounce back muscle. That's what that book is about. That's what that book is about. It's saying, listen, on your way to phenomenal, stuff's going to happen. So let's get ready for it, and let's bounce back from it.
I love it. And I love all the muscles that you talk about that you have that were developed and how you had to develop them and the things that you went through that taught you how to develop those muscles.
I tell all my junk, don't I? Don't I tell my junk? I just pull the sheets back and show y'all everything. And I have to tell you something. I was so nervous writing that book. I was nervous writing the book. I was nervous when the book came out. I was nervous when the book got sold in different languages. The book is already translated in 28 foreign languages. Do you know how nervous that makes me? That 28 different languages, they know junk. when you say it's hard and it's not easy, I got paid $1 million to write that book. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to say at that level, we still get nervous. We're still unsure. I'm still concerned. I'm worried about people are not going to like me because now in that book they learn all my junk.
Oh, my goodness. That's so freeing. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. It's the truth.
Thank you for saying that because it really does help to shape those of us who are, lower on that side of the mountain. It really does help to shape and let you know, listen, the most important thing is about being authentically you.
Yes. Yes, you're right. And to live in transparency and to be willing to put some skin in. Be willing to see when you stop getting your nails done and your clothes, you're putting some skin in. You're earning the right. See, I'm excited to see what's going to happen in your future because I know now you're paying that price.
Oh, yeah. And I was one who would not go without my nails, Lisa. I would not go. I had every excuse in the book to not go without my nails. And this is a crazy story, and I'll just tell it to you really quickly. I have this excuse me, it, I had, I'm letting it go, this thing that with my natural nails, I'm able to just scratch and pick. And I have this I had this nervous thing, and I would just pull on my fingernails, my cuticles, and bite them and scratch my face and everything else. So I convinced myself that I always had to have fake nails on, because with the fake nails, you can't really grab skin and pull. So as they came off, then I started scratching, and I see marks everywhere, and I was like, oh, yeah, we'll see. I got to go back and get the nails. It's like, no, you can make another choice and not scratch and pick and pull and do all these things to destroy this, you
2015 version of yourself, Kathleen. See, what you did in that moment. See, people think amazing and fabulous happens with lights coming out of the sky. You just make this big transformation. You drink this potion lotion. It's small choices just like that. And then tomorrow, you'll have an opportunity to make another small choice. And when you consistently stay committed in the small choice of extraordinary, then all of a sudden you'll look up and you'll have an extraordinary experience called your life. I promise you. You are on the right track. And anyone that can hear my voice, it is not out of your reach. Quit making greatness, quit making awesomeness unattainable. If you are breathing and you can hear my voice, then it is your birthright. Now, what you choose to experience is your choice. You are not and cannot be a victim to your life. You are a partner. You are co-creating this experience. And when you realize that the experience that you've co-created thus far doesn't serve you, then get out the eraser, erase the whiteboard, and let's write a new experience.
Write a new. I'm taking notes too. So sometimes you hear the pause when you stop. I'm writing ferociously over here, as usual. Right, because writing a new experience, and we
yes.
all can do that. We all can do that, and it's so gracious of you to do this program and to do my television show, because of course at any moment you can be anywhere on national TV and national radio doing these things, and I know you're so busy, and for you to take the time to do this with those of us who are aspiring and admiring you is so wonderful. So I want to thank you again as I ask you just a couple more questions, and
Kathleen, let me tell you why I have to do this. Thank you for your acknowledgement. But let me tell you why I have to do this. And I don't mean to sound braggadocious. I don't mean to sound self-indulgent. I'm just going to tell you the truth. There is a whole lot of room at the top. It's crowded in the middle and at the bottom. There's a whole lot of room at the top. There's so much space for you to step into. I'm not going to spend my time talking to millionaires and billionaires and world leaders about how to be successful. They already know the room don't have that much. The room doesn't have that many people in it. And many of them may not want everyone to know, but when I want to go to a place where it's crowded in mediocrity. It's crowded in average. I want to go there and say, wait, hold on. If I tell you this, and this piece of tidbit, are you willing to write ferociously? Are you willing to take bold action? Are you willing to become barely recognizable to your family and your community? Are you willing to bless your past and welcome your future? Are you willing? Because then if you're not, at least you know you're not, but you're no longer blaming on the circumstance of the world. So I love being here. I'm supposed to be here with you. And yes, I had to make a whole lot of changes to be with you today. I'm being outrageous talking to you in my car while I'm on my way to make ideally a multi-million-dollar business meeting happen. I get that, but I'm willing to sit out here in my car in the parking lot of this restaurant and talk to you until we're complete in the event for the possibility that one, maybe two people will hear my voice and become outrageous for the 2015 version of you. That will be my time well spent.
Oh, my God. Lisa, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Because you know I'm over here shedding tears, right?
Absolutely. That's your soul. I told you when you shed tears, that's your soul talking to you. That's your soul giving you a physical, tangible response to what you know in your belly. It's saying, I'm on the right track. I'm awake. I'm not just awake, I'm awake. Now I'm ready to live, boldly, in the right place at the right time. I don't ever have to be perfect. You don't ever have to be perfect. Perfect does not exist. Don't wait for the perfect time. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Stop looking for the perfect man. You can't find a perfect woman. You're not going to be that perfect person. What you can do, though, is learn how to be perfectly content in your imperfection. And what your tears, you're saying, I get it. I am enough. I've always been enough. You are enough. You've always been enough. Your journey is just right. There's a reason why you've gone through everything you've gone through, and you had to go through it all. There's a reason why you made poor decisions in the past. You had to make them because they came with a great lesson learned. And when you get that you're perfect for such a time as this, and I'm not saying that just to say because it's a great cliche. I mean to say it for exactly what it means. You are perfect for such a time. Is it the difference between me and most people who are not producing? There are many talented people in the world like me. Many people have the gift of service, the gift of giving, the gift of inspiration. But the difference between them and I is that I accepted my charge. I accepted the fact that I am perfect in my imperfection for such a time as this. And they're still grappling with that fact.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Look, now you have me on. You know how I get. You know I get on the road. You know I don't know how to stay inside the boundaries. You know that, right?
Yes, I know. I know, and that's why you're you. That's why you are on the cover. You know, you're listed amongst the most influential Black women in the world. That's why you are who you are. And I love it. I love it. I love you. I thank you so much. You are such a blessing to all of us. Wow. I appreciate you so much and your son. And my son has been walking around looking and smiling and sending great vibes to his Auntie Lisa. I told him.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Tell him about
you.
I did. I absolutely told him what you said. So I know you're in the parking lot, Lisa. I am not going to hold you any longer. I just want to thank you so very much for being here with me tonight. Thank you for coming through New York. God bless you. What a pleasure and an honor. And you know I will be in touch.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, and I want to, number one, I want to, if anyone hears my voice, I want you to go on my website, you know, because I have some free inspiration there. Actually, go to Dr. King Lives in Me. You remember that? Dr. King Lives in Me. And
right.
And that's a poem
right.
that I did. Say it again.
It's Dr. Right? Just Dr. Not spelled out Doctor. Dr. King Lives in Me.
Right. Dr. Dr. King Lives in Me. And be blessed with that poem. You know, use it as your inspiration. I'm a big person to have things around me to remind me of my 25th version. I'm a big person to have people in my ear, people in my heart. So go there and then go on to my site. There's some more free things. They're just free things just for you to be inspired by. Go in, log in, join the community. Because I can tell you the one thing that you will never outgrow, the one thing that you will always be in line for and always appropriate and always fits, and that's inspiration. So plug in and be inspired. Have someone cheerleading for you at all times and hold you accountable to your 2015 version at all times. Have someone not letting you off the hook of the man or the woman that you are becoming, not the person you've been, but the person you are becoming. I tell people all the time, I'm grateful for my bio, and I'm grateful that you love my bio, but please, don't let me get caught up in my bio because I already did that. I need to get caught up in what I do. Don't you dare let me read the press and get caught up in what Essence said so much about me that I stopped doing my 2015 version of myself. And so I say to each one of you that I love who you are. I love who you've been. Even in not knowing your name, I love who you are. and I love who you've been. But I'm really, really excited, inspired, and encouraged by the man or the woman that you are becoming. I say this in closing. Do not ask the world. Do not ask your mother, your family, your siblings, your spouse. Don't ask your teacher. Don't ask the world for permission for you to be fabulous and great. From this day on, you give the world notice that you're going to be great.
Amen. So, Lisa, you do workshops, you do conferences. When people go on the website, they can find information to that. And can you tell everybody your website? I will, of course, put it in the chat room and blast. I've been blasting it. But can you just tell everybody the website and how to stay in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can go to lisa-nichols.com, lisa-nich.com. On training. The next big training coming up is called No Matter What Mindset, named after my book. That's coming up in November. If you reach out to us on email and ask us to give you the special, we'll give you a special rate to join us at No Matter What Mindset. I love you.
I love you too, Lisa. God bless you. Have a fabulous meeting and a great day.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm almost speechless. Ladies and gentlemen, you were listening live to Lisa Nichols. She is a friend of the show, a friend of mine, a blessing, just a blessing beyond belief. And we're not closing now. We have a couple of folks here that want to talk, and Jay and I will be talking about what Lisa shared with us this evening, and certainly this show will be in the archive so you can listen to it again if you didn't take notes. Right now we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Kathleen Williams. You were just listening live to Lisa Nichols. This is Adam, Where Art Thou? And my co-host and fabulous producer, Mr. Jay Riles, is on the line, and he's going to take us to break. We'll be right back.
My best friend,
Adam.
Where art thou? Now.
Yeah. I look in the mirror. What do I see? I see my power, my ability. I see tenderness, righteousness, optimism, and a bit of fear, I guess. But no matter what I see, my eyes can't tell me what I already know. I'm bad, that's what I am, and I don't need nobody to tell me so, 'cause I am a girl, I am a woman, I am connected to earth and sky. I know secrets they only dream of. I love myself and I'm gonna tell you why. I am a girl, I am a woman, I am connected to you see the light in your soul. that can only grow. I know this to be so. I want only to give it back. Love in me, all I see is possible.
I am a girl.
Adam, where art thou? 347-850-1272 is the call, the number 347-850-1272. Now back to Adam, where art thou, with the very lovely Miss Kathleen Williams. Kathleen?
Hi, Jay. Was that incredible?
Incredible. Very, I tell you, she's inspired me, and wow, just a beautiful woman. And man, what can you say? I didn't cry like you did, but I mean, I was terrible.
Thanks for making that point, honey.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want people to think I was back here crying. I was touched, but I wasn't moved to tears like you. But that's okay. Let the spirit use you, girlfriend. Let the spirit use you.
Well, listen, Ronnie is here. She called in over here tonight, so we're going to go straight to Ronnie's rave, and then I hope you'll join in so we can do processing and wrap up the phone call, because you can't leave folks with something like that and not process and wrap it up. So we'll just do Ronnie's rave. Ronnie, how you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm all inspired and fabulous and ready to do my 2015 mission statement. I heard that.
It was
awesome.
What an
awesome show.
So, Ronnie's raving. What you raving about tonight, huh?
Well, listen to this. I was watching the early morning, Good Morning America, a couple of days. I think it was like Tuesday or so. And Dr. Oz was on. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Dr. Oz. And he was ranting and raving, which is not unlike him. He always has something to rant about. And he said that apple juice is possibly contaminated with arsenic. I was, so you know, that's what I had, arsenic. So now I'm standing up with my face pressed against the screen, and I say, did he just say that apple juice is contaminated with arsenic? Now, what has happened is it's turned into a, I mean, it has blown the country out of this, you know, all the scientists are up in arms, and all the doctors are up in arms, and the FDA is up in arms, because people stated that concentrated arsenic is possibly contaminated with arsenic, and arsenic is a carcinogen. That's a good choice, right? So
you're breaking up a little bit on my end. I'm not sure if you're breaking up over there, but I couldn't quite hear you.
No, well, what he said was arsenic is a poison. It's a contaminated, inorganic, toxic element. And it also is a carcinogen.
Wow.
Did you hear me?
A carcinogen.
Okay. Exactly. So now it has turned into a huge controversy because the FDA went back and did tests and said Dr. Oz tests weren't done properly and that the amount or the trace amounts of arsenic in the apple juice aren't harmful. The other scientist came back and he was in a rant rave and he said that Dr. Oz didn't do the test enough tests with enough apple juices and that the apple juice from foreign markets are the ones that could possibly be tainted. So now I'm wondering, should I drink apple juice or should I not?
And can you juice your own apples? Is it in the apples or it is in the juice? Can you juice your own apples and get fresh juice and be okay?
Now, this is the thing. The apple juice, supposedly from foreign markets, are the ones that are tainted, and they never really gave me a concrete answer as whether it's the aspirin or is it the juice aspirin processed, pasteurized, whatever, as the inorganic arsenic.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I guess we're going to have Dr. Greenberg come on the air and talk to us about all that good stuff because that's crazy. Because who knows? I don't know which apple comes from foreign markets. Do you?
Thank you. Well, did you hear about this controversy this week?
No, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear. Jay, did you hear about that?
Is he there?
I don't think.
No, I drink.
Jay may not. Yes.
No, I drink apple.
You heard about it?
You're scaring the hell out of me right now.
Okay, so the scientist that came back on to blast Dr. Oz, no, I'm telling you, have you ever heard anybody blast Dr. Oz? They blasted Dr. Oz right in his face, right on the about this. The scientist came back with a big bottle of apple juice and a straw to drink and prove to us all that we should not be afraid of it. My consensus is, I'm going to keep my ears close to the ground about this, and I'll let you know what I find out, because we all love apple juice. And, I'll let you know. I'm going to keep abreast of the situation and see what happens. But I'm telling you right now, watch the concentrated apple juice. Be careful with the concentrated apple juice.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for bringing that information, because I certainly did hear it. I know they had a show with the doctors that disagreed with Dr. Oz. I have that on DVD. You know, I've recorded it, and I haven't yet watched it, but I did not know that this was going on. So thanks so much for that, for Ronnie's rave. Woohoo! Okay.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Lisa Nichols and her, her amazing, amazing time with us this evening and all of what she brings to the table and how inspiring she is. So Jay, do you have anybody on the line that might want to chime in?
We have people listening, but no one's raised their hand. So of course they can, 347-850-1272 or I guess 909-265-9186, 89. I guess you can call either number and get in, but right now people are just listening.
Oh, okay. So, Ronnie, talk to me. I have Jerome Esprit on the line also. Talk to me, guys. What did you think of Lisa Nichols?
Well, I think, first of all, Jay, I didn't cry either. I just want to say that for the record. As I
Right? Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. And but you know she she's always
fun
been.
Of me?
No. I'm just saying we had to show a testosterone moment inside the radio show. So I just want to say there was no tears being shed that we're gonna admit right now. So Lisa, you know I keep on my DVR her appearance on Oprah's after the show. I did see the Oprah show that she was on there, and I think, you know, of course in a just in a quantum way from doing The Secret and all of those things, that she does a very good job of explaining how she got from one place to another and how you can change your thinking to make that happen. So I am always very impressed with her, and I have a lot of respect for her. So it was a great interview for me.
That's awesome.
No.
And yeah. Jay, talk to us. I know you were inspired. You didn't shed any tears. Yeah. But tell me what else.
Well, let me read something from the chat room. Nasa said, FDA has allowed a lot to enter into the food supply. It should not be allowed for human consumption. I, for one, missed the show, but I do believe Dr. Oz did his due diligence and homework. That's from the chat
room. Don't you think? He did his due diligence. He sure did.
Well, can I comment on that?
Sure.
Okay. I did watch the show with Dr. Oz, and what Dr. Oz is saying is that we allow about, I think it's 2% of arsenic in our drinking water, but in our apple juice, it is like, I'm sorry, it's more than that in our drinking water, but it's like almost 20% parts per thousand or something on the parts per million, I'm sorry, on the apple juice side. And the problem is in China, they actually fertilize and use pesticides that has arsenic in it. In the United States, we don't. So New York State is that we have apple picking season going on here in New York State. So we're a dairy state, if you didn't know. But the trick is that the foreign apples that are being used in consumption are in our concentrated drinks, apple juice, and that is what he was talking about. So you can read the side of your box of concentrated apple juice and see where the apples are coming from. That's all he said. So the people who are fighting him are like the cigarette tobacco companies fighting every study that came out that said smoking was bad for your health in the 80s. But Dr. Oz did such a great job making his point. They were making a fight over something that he wasn't saying. He said nothing about the domestic apples because we don't use that. It's banned in our fertilizer for years, but it's not banned in using arsenic in their fertilizer in Canada. I mean, sorry, in China. So that's all he was saying. And the Chinese, and the apples that are coming from China or that's in our concentrate, which is, I think he said about 60% of the apples used in concentrated apple juice is from China.
But the problem was the doctor that gave him a hard time, the first doctor that opened up on him was the doctor from ABC, Dr. Richard Besser.
Yep, I watched
and
it. Mm-hmm.
You watched it? And he felt that Dr. Oz was being unprofessional, and he also felt like he was opening up a can of worms that was going to cause a problem, you know, where people were going to get maybe turned on at the last minute and hear this. But I believe that, you know, we know that concentrates come over. We don't know how alpha juice is bottled. We don't know where it's all bottled. And so concentrates can come from anywhere, and then we get them here, and then we bottle them, and we're ingesting this arsenic, which is a carcinogen. So I don't know. I'm just bringing it to the public. I don't know all the details, but I think, well, you know, I could keep my hair.
No. I understand, but what the other guy was doing from ABC, he was muddying the waters on Dr. Oz, and that's why he looked so calm. I'm as a media person, I really have a lot of respect on how Dr. Oz handled that. Just because he said you were not understanding what I'm saying, he said I didn't say that. So what we do on major media is that people cater to people with about an 8th grade or 6th grade education, and Dr. Oz was just pretty much saying it's not for them. because he said you're causing a panic. And he said specifically for the Chinese apples that were coming in here. He didn't say anything about apples across the country. He said we're going to continue to eat apples and all of that other stuff. You can squeeze your own apples and make your own apple juice. He was just saying from concentrate, when they come from overseas, that is a problem to us. And I have to say,
that's what I said in the beginning. It's the concentrate, and that's where the problem, I think, is coming in, that people don't understand that most of the apple juice we consume out the markets are concentrate. Well, I want to talk about Lisa Nichols.
One second, though, because I want to know, why are we importing apples from China anyway, or apple juice? I mean, we got enough apples in the United States. Why are we bringing in apple juice? Apples from China?
Okay. You want to go back
anyway,
to the...
Okay, this is the deal. The reason why I feel this has become a hot-button topic, a hot-button issue, and the reason why I brought it up was because the a lot of our foreign trade is done with China. China has got a big foothold in our economy. So if we upset the Chinese, no matter what it is, it's going to be a big problem. How do we know that ABC is being totally funded by Chinese, you know,
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. And so you watch who the doctors who are paying those doctors.
Exactly. And the one doctor that came on was so, I don't know if you saw him, Jerome, was so disrespectful, you know, with the big bottle of apple juice, big bottle of Mott apple juice and the straw, and, you know, like Dr. Oz doesn't know what he's talking about, and he only did one test with one, you know, group of scientists. They went nuts. So,
Dr. Oz ever get upset?
Never moved. He never blinked an eye.
You know why? Because he said, we know that this study is good. He never broke a sweat.
Well, don't you? You know, he's the one that came to the forefront and said that we can all combat cancer. They didn't want to hear him say that either.
There's a whole lot of money in that.
Remember that, Kathleen?
Jay, is it break time?
It is. So listen, let's step out, and folks, we'll be back to close up shop. Right here on Adam Moore Arthur. Don't forget now, 347-850-1272. You still have time to get in on the conversation. Our 909-265-9189. We'll be back after this on Adam Moore Arthur. Keep it right here.
Adam,
where art thou?
Now.
All right, folks, welcome back. It's time for the last call on Adam, where art thou? What a great evening, Kathleen. And I tell you, I almost had to pull the Kleenexes out, but I was able to maintain. What about you?
I was not. I had to pull out the Kleenex. Sean came in and was comforting me.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it's just powerful like that. She really is, and she has that kind of energy, walks with it, and she means business. She's not playing at all. So, what she shares, she knows it works, and she knows that whomever listens will absolutely, take that next step up the mountain. So she's very passionate about making sure that we understand that, and she doesn't want to waste her time. We watched her on Larry King, watched her on Oprah, and as Jerome said, Oprah, after the show, she gets calls from all over the world. There's a day named after her in Houston, Texas. So, she's huge, and for her to stop by here tonight and to come to New York and all the changes that I know she's made to her schedule to spend time with us here on Adam, Where Art Thou is just really a blessing.
Well, I tell you what, you're right, absolutely. So listen, let me give you my final thoughts, and you know how I do. So listen, I think it was a very, very great show. I think people should take heed to what she had to say. And you know what? Hey, listen, we'll see you back here next week. I'm out. You take it on home, girl.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Jay. Thanks for everything. You're an incredible producer and co-host. It's always wonderful to be here in the evening with you, and also every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Central. It's the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show on this channel, 347-850-1272. And you can also call us here on the evening on Ask Kathleen Network. So, Ronnie, you want to give us a quick minute before we close out? Because we have 2 minutes before the show shuts down.
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to thank you for bringing Lisa Nichols to the show. It's amazing, the information and the motivation that she instills and, inspires you with. It's just awesome. So I really enjoyed that. I watched Lisa Nichols from the very first moment she, became part of The Secret. I watched it. I watched the DVD 100 times. I read the book, and it's good to have her back in our lives so that we can get re-inspired. I'm ready to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jerome, let's have some final thoughts from you. Did we lose Jerome?
Oh, he's not there?
Yeah, I lost Jerome, so he's probably signed out. Well, to all of you who are listening, I thank you so much for calling in to Adam, Where Art Thou. Thanks for spending time with us every Sunday evening. We strive to make sure that we bring the best quality programming to all of you, but it wouldn't be a fabulous show without you. So tune in again next week, next Sunday evening, and talk to me. Send me some messages on Facebook. Friend the show and friend me on Facebook if you haven't already. I definitely want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear how the show inspires you, and also what you'd like to see here on Adam, Where Art Thou. This is a partnership. So thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you. Love you so much, and have a phenomenal week. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. This is Kathleen Williams. You're listening to Adam, Where Art Thou, my co-host, Jay Ryle. Have a great day. Good night.
Good night.
Those are the things that when you're able to forgive and let that thing go, you get the healing. Your whole household gets the healing. Your child gets the healing. And there's an energy and a space from which you can grow now. Whatever you are going through, you can make it. I am unique, yes, but I am no different from any one of you. So I don't know whether or not it's a bad marriage. I don't know if it's domestic violence. I don't know if it's a foreclosure. I don't know if it's a job loss. I don't know if it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is, because you're going through it and it's meaningful to you. But know this day that you
can. One of the main reasons that I think that it's important for us as single moms to have our sons and our daughters really involved in sports is because this is where they learn a tremendous amount of their skills: communication, teamwork, accountability, responsibility, nutrition, health, wellness, self-consciousness, all of that. So with that said, I thank you all so much for your time, and I'm going to pass the mic on to the next person, but I look forward to working with all of you a little bit more. Thanks a lot.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rowe Show.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This was an amazing program with Lisa Nichols. Adam, Where Art Thou? Was awesome, off the charts tonight. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.